there. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. Okay, here we go. We're talking about a cleansing process tonight. That's basically what chapter 19 is going to talk about. You'll see it in a moment. We just got through, if you recall, I'm sure you do, you don't need to be reminded, tithes, how that the priests, Aaron and his sons, and all of the tribe of Levi, how they are going to live full-time off the Lord. In other words, they are not going to go and work their own land. They are not going to go and run their own businesses. They're not going to go and do their own whatever. They're going to serve the Lord 24/7, and the Lord promises to take care of them. He says, whatever tithes come into my house, I will give you of those. And you remember that's how the priests were taken care of. That was God's promise. And when you enter into the land, don't forget, all the tribes get a certain piece of the land of Canaan, of the promised land, except for the Levites, they get none. And God says, but you get what's better, you get me. So all of us as Christians, we've read it when the psalmist said it, and then we see it in the New Testament. The Lord is our portion. He's my portion, he's your portion. He's what we get in this life and for eternity. And there is nothing better. Although you might not believe that if you watch enough commercials. You know, you need a pill for everything nowadays. But the Lord is our portion and he's what we want. Well, God says, all right, we want to talk about some cleansing now. Being defiled and being cleansed. And how does it work? There's this red heifer. Hey, have you heard that they've got a red heifer over there in Israel and they have, sacrificed it and they've got the ashes and cetera and they're ready to go. This red heifer was to be spotless and without blemish and was to never have been trained with the yoke, never worked with the yoke. The word we use is unbroken. By that I mean when you have a horse that's never been ridden, they'll say that horse is unbroken. When you have a heifer that has never worked with the plow yet, not experienced with it, it is unbroken. So this is a young heifer without blemish and spotless. Okay, you with me so far? This is easy. And you shall give her, the heifer, unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth outside, King James says without, outside the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. In other words, he has to be a witness to make sure this heifer is killed. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. Her skin and her flesh and her blood with her dung shall he burn. The entire animal, except for a few sprinkles of the blood, they'll be sprinkled toward the tabernacle. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. And he that burns her shall wash his clothes in water, bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean until evening also. Okay, let's just take a look at what we've got going on. The priest, Eleazar, he's going to officiate, he's going to oversee the slaughter, the sacrifice. He's going to be a witness to the death of the red heifer. Who is going to be a witness? Elliot, the priest, okay? Get that in your head. The priest will be a witness of the death of the red heifer. Okay, you got, does that sound easy to remember? Yes, do that. Yes, it's easy. Good. I knew it would be. It's done where? outside the camp. Are you getting the picture yet already? I mean, you can't miss it, but let's just keep going anyway. It's done outside the camp where this spotless heifer, this blameless heifer, this young heifer is sacrificed outside the camp. Some of the blood sprinkled toward the tabernacle, and what all that means or indicates to you and to me and to the people of Israel, that this was an offering to the Lord God himself. When he sprinkled seven times toward the tabernacle, it's the tabernacle area there. This is to signify, this is an offering to you. This is an offering to God himself. And the heifer was to be totally consumed by fire, completely burned up. And the heifer, as the heifer was burnt, they would throw in the fire as well cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet. Usually they would have wool, lamb's wool, sheep's wool, dyed scarlet bright red, and it would be thrown into the fire as well. So it would be the heifer, the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, or scarlet wool. The cedar was chosen because it's kind of an evergreen sort of thing, and its fragrance is good, it has a beautiful fragrance, even when it burns. You would just smell the cedar. The hyssop was chosen for, basically, hyssop was used to place the blood on the doorposts there in Egypt. Remember that night that we call the Passover, when the Lord passed through, the angel passed through, and there was blood on the doorposts. You recall that? That was put on by the hyssop. Hyssop, by the way, if you can't, I know you remember, but let's put it on the tape. Hyssop is a type of faith. You notice that's how the blood was put upon the doorposts and the beam across the top was, they used hyssop. It is a type of faith. The scarlet wool basically symbolizes the blood. That's why the wool, that's why you used the scarlet color, just to symbolize blood. Remember, God does nothing just because he's bored. When you see things and you're reading through your Bible and you see they used hyssop to do this, or they used cedar to do that, or they used whatever they used, you might want to begin to do your own Bible study and see why. There's a reason God chose the things that he chose. There's a reason God does, obviously, there's a reason God does the things that he does. They make sense when you begin to study the Bible and you begin to put it all together. So here we have it. The heifer totally consumed by fire, completely burnt to ashes, along with the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet wool. Verse 9 says, "And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without or outside the camp in a clean area, in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin." Okay, now, listen to the language, because you need to get this. It's something that we ought to understand. I'll read it again. "And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up outside," or the King James says without. It means outside the camp, in a clean place, "and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation. It is a purification for sin." The ashes of the red heifer. But wait, there's more. "And he that gathers the ashes of the heifer," this is verse 9 or 10, "shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the evening, and it shall be unto the children of Israel and unto the stranger that travels through among them for a statute forever. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with it on the third day. With what? The ashes. You'll see how it works. With it on the third day. And on the seventh day, he shall be clean. But if he purify not himself the third day, then the seventh day, he shall not be clean. Okay? You understanding it? Sure. Whosoever touches the dead body of any man that is dead and purifieth not himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from Israel, meaning they'll die. Because the water of separation was not sprinkled upon him. He shall be unclean. His uncleanness is still or yet upon him. Only the ashes remain of what was burnt. They must gather it up. Someone who is clean must gather up the ashes. Remember, these are ashes of the red heifer and the what else? Cedar wood, of course. Scarlet. The hyssop. They gather it up and they store it in a clean place outside the camp. And there they stayed wherever they traveled, right outside the camp, ready for use, ready to be used. So that anyone that was unclean could be cleansed. If you touched a dead body, if you came in contact with a diseased person, or whatever the case might be that would make you unclean, you're going to be considered unclean for 7 days. During those 7 days, you're going to take from the ashes, mix them with water, and you're going to see how that works in a moment. The ashes will be mixed with the water, and they'd be used to wash the man or the woman or the person that's unclean. These were used for a cleansing ceremony. Well, verse 14. This is the law. When a man dies in a tent, a person dies in the tent. All that come into the tent and all that is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which hath no covering bound upon it is also unclean. A lot to remember, isn't it? If you're a Jewish person having to live out in the wilderness, right? Yeah. And whosoever touches one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a person, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels, and upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touched a bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave. Okay, well, let's just stop for a second and just take that little piece. We're reminded here, and it's an important reminder, that you would be unclean if you entered the house where someone was dead. For instance, you got a call in the middle of the night. A friend of yours was not doing well. They wanted you to come over and pray. Then three tents over. Because, you know, your good friend is very sick. You go over and you're praying and he dies. All right, who's unclean? Everybody in the tent. You included. What else is unclean? Everything that's uncovered. If you got some of the food out, you didn't put a lid on it or something, that food, you get rid of it. Now you're unclean and you need to be cleansed. If someone is killed out in the field, when they go into battle, people do die. Some are wounded, and as you're trying to take care of them, you're a medic, and they're wounded severely by the sword, and the battle moves on, and you're there trying to take care of them, and they die. in your hands or however. You're now unclean. And anybody who's there to help you carry this body to wherever it's going to be buried, wherever you're going to lay the body, everybody's unclean. You got to have a way to be not unclean. Notice this, if you're digging or plowing or just working around the dirt and you come upon a bone, you're unclean. You didn't even know it was a grave. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe somebody lost a finger there. I don't know. Somehow there's a bone there. You didn't know about it. You were digging, looking for water or something, or gold, and you found, now you're unclean. There are many things while you're walking through the wilderness that can make you unclean. Do you get it? Do you understand the law? Do you understand what God is trying to tell us? If you're out and about, you come upon someone who's been shot and they're dead, you're unclean. You're going to have to help them, obviously. You're going to have to take them to a place to get buried. You're unclean, so is everybody else that dealt with it. Let's go back a couple of verses and get a running start again. And for the unclean person, verse 17, it shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put into a vessel, along with the ashes. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it. Okay, underline that. And a clean person will take the hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it upon the tent, upon all the vessels, upon the persons that were there, and upon him that touched a bone or one slain or one dead or a grave. And a clean person shall sprinkle upon the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day shall purify himself, wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and shall be clean when it's evening. But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from among the congregation. That means they'll die. They'll have no fellowship. They have to be put away. Because he hath defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation has not been sprinkled upon him. He is unclean. If you don't bother to be cleansed, to go through this purification process, if you don't bother, then you're not welcome into tabernacle area. You would defile the tabernacle. You can't worship God. If you're unclean, you cannot worship the Lord in the way that the Lord has prescribed you to, commanded you to, and called you to. And so you've got to go through this ceremonial cleansing, through this cleansing process. Do you understand that you cannot worship the Lord the way he would have you worship if you're unclean? So, the man that shall be unclean, verse 20, shall not purify himself. That's a choice that that person makes. That soul shall be cut off from among the congregation. Because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of separation has not been sprinkled upon him, and he is unclean. And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, verse 21 says, that he that sprinkles the water of separation shall wash his clothes. He that touches the water of separation shall be unclean till evening. And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the soul that touches it shall be unclean until evening as well. Notice, unclean spreads. If you're sick and you've got a disease of some kind and you spit on someone, they get the disease. It spreads. It's contagious. Unclean is contagious, Christian. Unclean is contagious. We all need to, I'll say it again. I'll say it in English. Unclean is contagious. You get it from others as well as getting it through other ways, like you pick up a dead body or you run into a guy that was in a sword fight and now he's you're unclean. It happens easily and it's all over the world. And it's contagious. And that's the end of the chapter. Any questions? Person would mix ashes with water, pour the water, put it in a bowl or a container, apply it with a hyssop branch. What is a hyssop? The type of? It's a type of faith. Good. They would then be sprinkled on the third day and on the seventh day again to be cleansed. If this cleansing doesn't take place, past tense, if the cleansing did not take place, the person would be unqualified, unable to worship the Lord, unable to worship at the temple. If he worshiped at the temple and nobody knew about it, God did. God says, I know. If he worshiped at the temple and nobody knew about it, he's defiled, actually defiled the temple of the Lord himself. In other words, that person was not able to worship God the way God had commanded that he wanted to be worshiped. When you begin to disobey God, you've got bigger problems on your hands than being just unclean. You get it? I mean, you're in real trouble. That person is put away from the congregation. You're talking about death. You're talking about real trouble. And anything that the unclean person touched, if I touched it or you touched it, we would become unclean also. And so we finish the whole chapter. And people say, well, okay, well, groovy. It's a word we need to bring back. Groovy. So what? How do we apply it to our lives today? I mean, come on. You know, this is why Christians tell me, this is why I don't read the Old Testament, people say. Because, okay, that's nice, but basically, we're not going to kill a red heifer. I mean, the Jews are planning on that, but they're still under the law, many of them. I mean, we're just not going to kill a red heifer, and it's just, you know, how am I going to apply this when I walk out tomorrow morning, go to work? I'm glad you asked. What has the Old Testament got to do with a Christian's life today? And what does this chapter really have to do with what you and I are faced with throughout the day today, tomorrow? If we have a tomorrow, you know, what does it have to do with us? Okay, let's just look at it so we can understand what's going on. When Israel was on the march through the wilderness, and that's what they're on, correct? They're on the march through the wilderness. They because of a lack of faith, because of unbelief, because of disobedience, because of rebellion, they could not enter into the promised land, and so they're taking the long route, the long way. They're going in circles, if you'd like to follow sort of a pattern that they took many times. Remember, we talked about they recognize this rock because we were here last year. They're going in circles in some cases, and the Lord is leading them. There's not to reason why at this point. It was their rebellion that caused this headache to begin with. But you got to think about something now. When they're on the march through the wilderness, if someone died or touched an unclean thing, they became unclean. You think people died in the wilderness? Are you kidding? I mean, the Lord smote a bunch of them. Hundreds of thousands, hundreds upon hundreds of thousands, millions maybe almost, died in the wilderness. Think people were unclean? Death hit every family. Well, let's just pretend someone dies or someone gets injured and dies. You think we're going to stop the whole nation for a full week if the Lord wants them to move on? You think we're going to stop the whole nation for a full week? We're not, you know, we're not. Because it would take 80 years or longer. Maybe you'd never get to the promised land that way. If you have to stop and for 7 days wait on one guy or two guys. Now, you're not going to leave them behind, their family. You think they're going to stop, set up the tabernacle, find a red heifer, go slaughter it outside the camp, go through the whole. You think they're going to do that every time you and I say, Mo, I'm unclean. I need to do that thing now. And he'd say, Eliezer, one of the priests, got to get out there. Let's No. No, here's what's going on. They're going to keep moving. And what's happening is this. I don't want to miss my notes here. They're going to keep moving. So what they've done is they've taken the red heifer. They've sacrificed it. Now they've got the ashes. And each place they stop, They'll set up the tabernacle. The ashes will be outside the camp in a clean place, ready for action. The priest can go out there, take you out there. You can take the water. You can take the ashes. You can mix them together in the bowl. And then someone there that's clean can take you through, you get it, through the cleansing process. So that everybody's not going to wait every time someone, you know, we're not going to go through this whole thing every time. We're not going to redo it all because it's ready to go. And that's what the reason that God did it for them. And you think about you and me. And you think about when we read through the New Testament, think about this. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, you can find John chapter 13 if you'd like to read through it. Going into the upper room to have dinner. This was the night that he was going to go to the cross the next morning. But that night, going into the upper room, the first thing that Jesus did was do what? Think about it. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He got a basin of water. And what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. Now, I know, I've heard the studies. You've heard them too. People will say, well, he was showing us servanthood. No. He had already shown us servanthood all 3.5 years of his ministry. And he told the disciples, you know what I'm doing. Do you understand what I'm doing? And you remember he washed the disciples' feet. Okay, put it together. Think about what's going on. He washed the disciples' feet. Now, when he got to Peter, there was a problem. Because didn't Peter say, Lord, no, you know, this isn't right. You shouldn't be washing my feet. You're the Lord. This is beneath you. What do we learn in the Old Testament? The one who is clean. The one who is clean would take the hyssop, the faith, right? And wash the one that is unclean. True? You getting it? The one that is clean. You know why Jesus did this? Was not to teach us to have foot washing ceremonies. And I see churches that do that, missing the complete point of what this is all about. Sure, we should serve one another. But that's not what the washing of the feet in the upper room was about at all. Because we read our Old Testament, we understand that. And you say this, well, why was Jesus doing that? Why was that the first thing he did? People ask. Was it because these guys were so filthy and sweaty that Jesus is thinking, I got to wash their feet. This is pitiful. Mm-mm. Jesus tells Peter why. In John chapter 13, verse 8, because Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. In John 13, 8, Peter saith unto him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. Okay, you have to let that sink in too. If I don't wash you, if I don't cleanse you now, you have no part with me. Now, Peter still doesn't understand. And so what Peter goes on to say, you know, here's what Jesus said. You can't have fellowship with me if I don't wash you, Peter. In John 13, verses 9 and 10, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not only my feet, or not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Because Jesus just said, you can have no fellowship with me if I don't wash your feet. Why are you washing my feet? Because I want you to be able to have fellowship with me. You can have no fellowship with me if I don't wash your feet. Okay then, not just my feet, give me a bath, pour it over my head, wash me completely. Jesus in verse 10 saith unto him, that's John 13, 10. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are all clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. He understood Judas wasn't truly born again. All right, now let's say that in American. Jesus just said, all of you are cleansed. Well, why are you washing my feet? Because you're unclean. What do you mean I'm unclean? Because you may not realize it, but you walk through this world And spiritually, you got dirty today. And you need to be cleansed today. You know, walking through the wilderness, you're not going to stop and sacrifice the red heifer. You'd run out of them. But you keep the ashes, and what do? You mix the ashes and all that's a part of it with the water, and it's sprinkled on by faith. By one that is clean. See, Christians do sin, don't they? Yes, we do, don't we? We do. Even the ones that aren't nodding, you do too. You do. You sit there and look at me as you want to look. But you do. We all do. You did today. You did. Even though, now notice, Jesus, Peter says, then wash me completely. You are washed. You're all clean. Well, why are you doing this? So that you can have fellowship with me now. You see, if you're unclean, you can't fellowship the way God has commanded you to and called you to be a part of it all. You're unclean. Even though we're cleansed, we are Christians, we're truly born again, and even though we're cleansed, when we walk through this world spiritually, we become unclean. We sin. We do. Our feet get dirty spiritually, is what I mean. And we need to be cleansed regularly. Yes, we do. All of us do. Jesus is not going to die every time I sin. Jesus will not die every time you sin. They are not going to sacrifice the red heifer at every stop. They're going to take those ashes with them along the way. You get the picture that Numbers chapter 19 is giving to us. But it goes on. Wait, it makes perfect sense. Jesus won't die every time we sin. He died once and for all. And the Bible teaches that he will die only once. He will be crucified and he will hang between heaven and earth, shed his blood for the sin of the world. But he will only die once. And Moses, in his anger, struck that rock twice. And what happened to Mo? Because of his anger, he was not allowed to go into the promised land. He died. God called him away before he could enter into the promised land. Jesus died once for all. He will not be sacrificed again. But I continue to sin. Do you? How do we deal with that? What do we do? Christians worry about that. I mean, Christians ask. Well, you know, how can you say you're going to go to heaven that you're truly born again, yet I still have an attitude problem, or someone say, or this problem, or this, I'm struggling in this area. I mean, am I still saved? Can I really still go to heaven? Yes, you're clean, Peter, but you need your feet washed. Well, I want to wash my whole body. No. The person that's clean doesn't need to be re-cleansed. But you do need your feet washed. That's what he was doing in the upper room. He taught us servanthood way before the upper room. He's teaching us something else, something that's very important for me to understand. The basin of water that Jesus took, I believe, represents God's word. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. The hyssop, basically, is what it represents, our faith in Jesus Christ. That's how it's all applied. And the Holy Spirit is the one who applies it to cleanse us, the Bible says, by the washing of water, or the washing of water by the word. Does it make sense to you? That's why chapter 19 is spent just talking about that red heifer. Because God is teaching us how we're going to walk today and tomorrow, if tomorrow should come. 1 John 1:9 says, and we're familiar with it, and maybe you even quoted, we quoted a lot. 1 John 1:9 really does make sense now. If you read Numbers chapter 19, listen, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, although we're completely washed in the blood of the Lamb, we're still born again. If Peter would have died without his feet washed, would he have gone to heaven? Absolutely. Jesus was died for the sins of the world. But you see, you can't really fellowship and have true fellowship the way God has called us to because we get our feet dirty. So what do as we walk through this world? We confess our sins to the Lord. Some ask this. Well, what is Jesus doing right now? He died and he rose from the dead. The Bible says he ascended back to the right hand of the Father. Is he just there with his feet up, drinking iced tea, waiting till we get there? What is Jesus doing right now? Well, according to the scripture, he's still wearing that towel of service that we saw him wear in the upper room. Is that what scripture says? He's our high priest. He's our advocate with the Father. He's there for us in heaven. Let's say it this way. On our behalf, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come to him by God, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'll say it again. Wherefore, he is able to save them completely and totally, all the way, those that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's our high priest. The priest is out there as the witness. True? It's applied by the Holy Spirit. The hyssop is our faith. We do it in faith. And we are washed by the water of the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're confessing to the Lord, which keeps us in right relationship. Of course, we are still his children. But like you said to Peter, you need your feet washed. Okay, then give me a bath. You're clean, but you need your feet washed, Peter. What I'm doing now, he says, you may not understand, but you will. If you start studying God's word, it all will make great sense to you. You see, Jesus died for our sins. He didn't die only just so that we could be born again and all the other sins we're going to have to take care of and collect ourselves. No, he died for our sins, all of our sins. From the cross until the time that you received that crown promised to you, Jesus died for those sins. So you ask, how often then should I come to him for cleansing? As often as you're unclean. Let's look at it this way. I take a shower every day. Because if not, by now, Lord, he stinketh. Right? You take a shower every day. Or we would really be dirty. Sometimes after you've been working out in your yard, or just working outside, especially in this kind of weather, really hot, you get dusty, you get smelly, you get really covered. So you come in and you might even take another shower. You just wash off the dirt and the sweat. I think it's the same in our spiritual lives. Don't you? It should be, shouldn't it? We would come to Jesus often. Why? Because we collect the sweat and the dust spiritually of this life, of this world. Dusty roads. We walk through this world and we pick up a lot of junk. So we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to remain in fellowship. And of course, 1 John 1:9, that's why it's called the Christian's bar of soap. By some of the old preachers, they'll call it the Christian bar of soap. Why? Well, because you're clean, Peter, but you need your feet washed. You've been through some dusty roads, and you need to be cleansed so that you can fellowship. Jesus wasn't saying to Peter, you're not born again if I don't wash your feet. No. He just told him, you are clean. But to be in fellowship and to be able to worship and to be able to do the things that we're called to do, sometimes we need some cleansing. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb, completely forgiven. But we do get dirty spiritually in this world. So here's what God's word says. Stay close to Jesus. Think about that red heifer. Think about the children in the wilderness. How it was the law for them. How they would take the ashes. And they would be unclean. And they would have to be cleansed by someone who was clean already. Outside the camp. Remember, Jesus went outside the camp when he was crucified. That red heifer taken outside and slaughtered there. You recall. And throughout the wilderness, throughout their traveling, time to time, it was necessary that they be cleansed. And everything was ready for them. There was a no wait. You see, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Squeaky clean once again. So you stay close to Jesus. And you continue, as you continue your walk through this world, stay close to Jesus. And the Bible says he will cleanse and refresh and revive us for his service. Now, there are some who think, well, you know, I am born again, but my life has really been pretty rough the last few years, the last 6 months, the last week. And so I'm a little shaky. Does he still love me? Of course he does. Of course he does. Jesus Christ died on the cross once for all. He will not be sacrificed again. His blood washes clean. If you truly belong to him, you are clean. But to remain in good, solid fellowship, the way God has commanded, the way God has called us to, the way God wants it to be for us, there are times that we need to confess. Get our feet washed. And like Jesus said to Peter, you may not understand now, but you will. It's a heart situation. It's a heart issue. And it affects every one of us. So read the chapter again. Go back and read through John chapters 12 and following, if you like. Just get a grasp of how it all fits together and how it works. And be willing to go before the Lord, each of us, as often as we need to. I mean, you'll know. The Lord will speak to your heart. You'll know. So we can be washed by the water of the Word. Let's bow our heads together. Father God, we thank you for your Word. We read about this. It's a short chapter, chapter 19, about the red heifer. And sometimes people just skim over it. Yet, Lord, what a message that you have for us. That you've made a way for your children to be clean and to be cleansed and to be refreshed and revived so that they can continue to worship and to be there in your presence, not being kept away for anything at all. We are grateful for it, Lord. We understand that we are saved by grace through faith. We're thankful and ask that you work in our hearts, Lord, and cleanse our lives for service to you as well. We ask you, Lord, and we thank you and believe in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.